This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this final Sunday of Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Thank you for listening today, and please join us every Sunday for worship on this station.
Christmas is a celebration of God's coming to this earth to be our Savior. What place will this message have in your Christmas holidays? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, you sent your Son to be our Savior. Grant, O God, that in this festive time of the year, we may take time out to realize what has happened, that you have come to this world in the person of a human being to be our sacrifice, that our sins might be taken away. Strengthen us in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, on Thursday of this week, we will observe Christmas. It is still one of the most popular holidays on the calendar. It is a holiday which carries with it the story of Jesus and his birth in a manger. It's a story that tells us about an angel coming to a young lady by the name of Mary. and she was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And the angel told her that she was going to have a baby boy, and she would call his name Jesus. Hearing this, Mary was all excited. But then there was some scary news. When Jesus was about to be born, it was declared that they had to go up to Bethlehem because there was a canvas of the citizenry of the Holy Roman Empire. But how was Mary to make that trip in the condition in which she found herself at that time? Well, Joseph got the donkey ready. He put her on the back of the donkey and off they went. And they finally made it to Bethlehem. But when they got there, Joseph found out that there was no room available for them in the inn. No matter how hard he tried to convince the innkeeper that this was a very extraordinary case, there just was no room in the inn. But the innkeeper, being somewhat of a humanitarian, said, "You know, we got a barn out there. And in the barn, there's a manger. Why don't you go out there and lie down?" And it was there that Jesus was born. That's the Christmas story, according to some. I'm sure this story has been read in many of our homes. I know Christmas Eve was a gay time and continues to be, even now, this late in life, in our family. I hope you have it the same way. We have a tradition. We begin by going to church, and then we come home to a nice meal. And after we have had the meal and all the dishes are cleaned up, then we go into the living room and we begin to sing our Christmas carols. "I Am So Glad Each Christmas Eve," and "Silent Night," and "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and all these wonderful songs. And after that, the scriptures are read. And then we open up our gifts. What an evening it is! No wonder Christmas Eve is a part of the precious moment in your past. I pray that you will hear the story of Jesus' birth many times this week, in your home, in your church, and in other places where you go. But now notice how I told you the story. This is what I might call the version with no offenses. There was nothing in the way that I presented that story which would be offensive to anyone. I made a point to eliminate the offensive parts of the story so that when it's all read, the person could pack it away for another year with the rest of his famous and precious legends. But there is more to the story than what I told you. Were I to leave it there, I should be fired immediately, even if some might call me very, very thoughtful for not being offensive to those who are not Christians. Yes, the way I told that story, it was simply the birth of a great man. It was under trying circumstances, and you could become angry that there was no place for Joseph and Mary to have the child born in a room. You could find other things that were very sentimental, and the children who heard it might wonder why it had to be that way. But the Muslim could hear it. The Orthodox Jew could hear it. And they could say, "Well, we fault not that story. There is nothing there that would be offensive. He was a great man who was born." The inspired story, which goes into the event in much greater depth, is what gets us into trouble. But I want to go over that today. To the person who has very little or no relationship with Jesus Christ, the story as it stands written in Scripture is probably meaningless. For still others, it is intellectually offensive. Virgins simply do not give birth to babies. For those of us who are Christians in the biblical sense of the word, I really mean who have met the Savior and who know Him and claim Him, and He lives in their hearts. This story never grows old. It gives us a greater insight into the earthly life of our Lord, and it tells us what tremendous love God has in the giving of His Son. Matthew tells this story, Luke writes the story, and John has another version of it. But today we take this story as it is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Now Luke begins by saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the angel Gabriel came and made an announcement to Mary. He said to her, "You are blessed. The Lord is with you. He has given you a special calling to be the mother of God. Mary, you're going to have a son, and you'll name him Jesus. But he is no ordinary child. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. He will be from the lineage of David, from whence came your fiancé, Joseph." And we want you to know that it will be a great event for all of humankind, for therein is found and born a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Mary couldn't understand that, of course, but the story does not center in the manger. It was a rather crude place to have to lie, and certainly to give birth to a child. It wasn't even all the difficulty that they had gone through to get to Bethlehem and to have the child there. The story, the real heart of this story, which is too profound perhaps for us to really grasp, and maybe the little child cannot delve into that depth. But the story is true, that Jesus Christ is God. God is taken on the form of a human being. And this God is our eternal King. Now, hearing that, Mary had some questions, of course. "How can this be?" she said. "I am a virgin." And the angel goes on to say, there's no question about that. "But you have found favor with God, and with that you should be grateful. You will have a child." "Mary, how it is going to happen is this way. The Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you, and you will become pregnant. You will not have a child in the normal way. God will implant the seed. For that child, remember, is the King forever." Obviously, she could not understand that. And so she asked the question, how? And the question is still being asked today, how? And if we cannot get a rational answer, we throw it out in many cases. For some, this is intellectually insulting. But listen to what Mary said. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. That's the story. A lot of things to be offended about, sure. Obviously, to just have a good man born, that wasn't going to be offensive. But to have the Savior be born, to have Him come into this world, the story in depth, the final answers are not yet written. And perhaps our poor human mind cannot comprehend it. But when Jesus Christ has grabbed your hearts, and when you are His child, and you know Him, and above all, He knows you, then this is just another one of the great revelations that God does give to us. Now, some might ask the question, where did Luke get all of this information? And as I have mentioned to you before, and as you well know, open your Bibles and you see that Matthew writes his version of it, John writes his, all of them joined together in that one great teaching that Jesus is God, born of the Virgin Mary. They present it in different ways. I'm going to take Luke's example here today. He wrote this story sometime in the late 60s. Tom Wright, an English theologian, has given us some insights that are very helpful to me, and I pass them on to you. From the very beginning, the story of Jesus' birth was being told from house to house. They had heard that there was something strange that happened over at the inn, that a lady who claimed to be a virgin had given birth to a child, and she had called him Jesus. Well, that story went on from place to place, but then it got into the hands of the professional storytellers. And Wright goes on to say, in some of the research that he has made, that while they didn't have a television or a radio or newspapers, their main communication was through accredited teachers. These were people who got the story and went after it to the very, very best of their ability to be the truth. And then they went from town to town telling it. And in a town, they would say, well, such and such a person is going to be here today. He is one of the accredited teachers, the accredited voices of what's going on in the world, be it a serious storm, be it an emperor who is coming, be it some tragedy with war. Go to hear the storyteller. He'll give it to you. He was sort of the Walter Cronkite or the Tom Brokaw of that particular day. And so these professional storytellers, I got the message out, and it spread, around in the world. And the disciples took this story along with them on their planting of churches up and down their little world. Then it passed on to other people, and sooner or later, some of it was beginning to be a little bit different than it really had happened to be. So Luke then sits down and writes this story. Matthew does the same, and John does the same later in life, not wanting the story to be lost, but to know what really did happen in Bethlehem on that night was their only reason, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to write it. I'm treating this humanly today. There is a human element in it. But of course, we all realize that none of it would have been written down had it not been the Holy Spirit who had inspired these men to do so. Therefore, we can thank God that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have today the good news in our Bible that the baby of the manger is a God incarnate who came into this world to be our Savior and our King. Now, have you grasped what I told you before, the reading of that first story, and then what really is found in it? Let me go back and review it with you. I mentioned to you in that first account that there was a lady who got word from the angel that she was going to have a baby. Probably the only thing strange about that, and you might have to really stretch your imagination to think about angels, but she got a message that she was going to have a baby. And so she and her fiancé were going to have to be married. That's the way the world could tell it. And after so many months, a child was born. They happened to be up in Bethlehem because they had to go there to be obedient to the government that was taking a census. But there was nothing so terrible about it. Others had been born in mangers and worse places than that, perhaps. And then finally, the child is born and grows up, and he has become known as Jesus of Nazareth. He was a founder of one of the great religions. He was a person who taught great ethical teachings. He has the respect of many, and they bear his name, Christian, Jesus Christ, Christian. And he is one of the leading religious figures of all history. Now, isn't that a story? And sometimes that's about where we reduce the Christmas story to. I know we used to get invitations to go out and talk to various organizations. It was going to be Christmas, and they wanted to have a Christmas program, and so they'd ask somebody to come and talk to them. And I've gone to a number of these, but I've always had them say to, not always, but most of the time, I've had them say to me, don't be too offensive by it. Because there are going to be people in that audience today who are not believers in Jesus Christ, and we wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. I never could keep that part of the promise. They always heard that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, if I were to tell them. And I never had any great resentment. It was just in the heads of those who thought that it shouldn't be done. But the average person can kind of throw it over and say, well, yeah, I know we've heard the old stories. My grandmother used to tell them. But we who live in educated Western civilization, take the kernel of it. But it isn't the kernel. The kernel is not that a child is born in a manger. The kernel is that that child born in a manger is God who has come to this earth. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is not elected for 4 years or 8 years. He is elected by his heavenly Father for all eternity. And ultimately, one day, if not now, he will be the King of all, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God's incarnation, that is the real Christmas story. And so, friend, we have that to be told, and it needs to be told in love, joy, that it may teach people the great truths. And I speak to some of you today who may be one of this group who feels that you cannot swallow that. You might even say, I wish that I could, but I simply can't. What would your advice be to me? It would simply be that during this period of just a few days before Christmas, you would read the stories in your Bible from Matthew, Luke, and John. And then you would ask God to make it come alive. If he does not do it in this brief period of time, why don't you give him the new year and spend some time every day with him in your word, especially in the New Testament, to watch that figure come forth. That is what we would urge you to do. For that's the Christmas story. Oh, yes, we're going to have that little simple story of Jesus being born in a manger for our children. That's what we hang on to. But we realize that there's far more behind it than just a few sentimental thoughts. It is a message of our salvation, that that newborn King is ours forever. Amen. God, this is a holy time of the year, and we pray that the Holy Spirit who has inspired this word and that comes to us as a Christmas gospel may help us understand that it was God who was opening the door in human form to come in and live among people, to be shamefully treated and to be crucified as a payment for the sins of the world. It is in this sense of the word that we can sing about the Savior. It is in this sense of the word that he brings joy to our hearts and peace. O come, Emmanuel, and live within us. That's our prayer. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord this week, it is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy. Let us take time to give thanks for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, during this busy Advent season. We thank those who have chosen to support our ministry through prayerful and financial gifts. There is still time to remember our ministry this year. Financial contributions are fully tax deductible and allow us to continue sharing the powerful message of Christ. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the Internet. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. You will find today's sermon and hundreds of past sermons to enjoy all over again. If you would like a CD, cassette, or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You can also call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We wish you a blessed Christmas and a happy new year, and pray you and your loved ones travel safely this week.